We're going to be learning some practical machshavas that we can have, thoughts that we could have while we're eating, to elevate the ma'isa achila into an act of kedusha, which we've been learning about what hadaka being, what that means. Now we're going to learn some practical machshavas. Here's Lamed Beis. Perek Beis, ikar kedushas achila nasa b'koach ha'machshava. With a tiny little thought, a person can change, can completely transform that act of eating from being a ma'isa behemah to a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for avodas Hashem. So let's see how. V'hinei machshavas kedusha ma'ila es achilasa. V'hinei haderech ha'ikaris lakadosh es achilahi ayidei ha'machshava. The ikar way to mekadish eating is through thinking, thought. Thank you, sir. Ki b'koach ha'machshava yochel adam lahalis es hagashmis l'ruchnius. It just takes a thought to change the physical into the spiritual, the gashmis into ruchnius. B'kol machshava machshava shel kedusha, she'adam choyshev b'achilasav. With any thought of kedusha, and we'll see what that means, a thought of kedusha. What's a thought of kedusha? With any thought of kedusha that a person has while eating, humalas achilaso, he's bringing it to a higher place. Achiyochel agil madrega shachilaso tahapach lekarbon, to the point that this meal that the person is having is considered as if it's a carbon that was brought on the mizbeach. Zah shulchan, k'mashkoso zah shulchan shelifnei Hashem. Zah shulchan shelifnei Hashem. We see such a lashon by lechem aponim in the Torah, lifnei Hashem. That eating can be a metzias of lifnei Hashem. And we live every second in Hashem's presence. But we lose our awareness of that, especially at times that we're indulging in physical pleasure. How can we take this inyan of achila and make it and reveal it for what it is, which is lifnei Hashem, lifnei Hashem? All different types of thoughts of machshavas of kedusha can help when it comes to this. Even if a person thinks for a second, even something like that, you're sitting down, you're having something that you enjoy, and a thought that Through this eating, I should be able to feel simcha. Gam ze nechshel machshavas kedusha. That's also considered to be machshavas kedusha. To think. Ukemuvan imchayshev shu ochel kedei shilo koach lavodas Hashem shvarach. And certainly, if a person thinks that I should have koach through this eating, I should have koach to daven, to learn, to do mitzvahs. Because the second a person brings Hashem into this mitzvah of eating, the second a person connects his mind to the act of eating, connects to Hashem in this act of eating, that's already mekadesh the achila. Bitlas haklipas, that's already mevatel the klipas, all of the klipas that surround this food. Kihain rotzos lahafrid as a gashmis mahashem zbroch. Because the whole inyan of the other side, of the klipas, of the yetzahara, is to bring about a separation between the ruchnias and the gashmias. To bring a separation between ourselves and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ulatzi ki ilu a gashmias hidov al atzmo. And to present reality as if it's something which is on its own, as if it exists on its own without the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the second that a person thinks that this eating, just a second of thought, that this eating is for Hashem, for Avodas Hashem, he's already brought about the connection between the Gashmias, this physical act, and Hashem. The Kiddush is Hakol. And he's Makadish everything. Now, it's natural for a person to feel like, who am I kidding? This is my favorite, hamburger, or whatever it is, my favorite slice of pizza, and I'm eating this. This should be Favadis Hashem. This is sounds like this is something for tzaddikim. I think Shabbos tomorrow, tonight, is the yahrzeit of one of the big tzaddikim, a very, very mysterious tzaddik, Reb Shlomke from Zvila. I don't know if you heard of Reb Shlomke. He's a huge tzaddik, a very, very remarkable tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Reb Shlomke from Zvila, very hidden person. And he had a gabbai. The gabbai's name is Reb Elia Roth, who was also a big Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik. And this Reb Elia asked Reb Shlomke, how is it possible to have really, sincerely to have this thought of when I'm eating that it should be Lavadis Hashem? What is it, to sincerely have such a thought? So Shlomke told him that it says in the Megillah, by the Mishnah, it says Vayova Hamelech VaHaman Hayom LaMishnah Shasisi, that Haman and the king should come to the meal that I prepared, right? Esther says Haman and the king should come to the meal that I prepared, and then only later on it says. But she said, "Esa, Macha, Esa, Kedvar Hamelech. Tomorrow I will do as the king wants." So Shlomke said that in the beginning, when you're eating, it's okay to invite the king and Haman. And slowly but surely, just the king comes to the meal. That's what he said. It's a very deep Torah. You have a Hamelech v'Haman el Amishtash sees. That don't worry that it doesn't have to be completely about Hashem when you're eating. Enjoy the food. It's okay that Hamelech, which is Hashem, hint Hashem, and Haman, which is the Yetzirah. It's okay that when you're eating that Hamelech and Haman, that both the king and Haman come to the meal. But you'll see that over time, it's Umochar, tomorrow, Esa Kedvar Hamelech. Then the meal will be really about Hashem. Eventually it becomes something which is very holy. In the beginning, it's enough that you try just for a second to have this thought that halavai, that from this I should have some simcha, from this should come out some of Avodas Hashem. And by doing that already, a person is being mevatel the klipas, and he's making this into a ma'aseh of kedusha. V'yesh ol kavan nifla, hashav l'chol nefesh. Now, the second etzah, he says that Adav Hashav L'chol Nefesh, which is very, very easy. And this is the one really to begin with. And it's a hemshech of the bracha that we make when we eat. But to have this while we're eating, this thought while we're eating. V'hi lachshav machshavas hadoi l'Hashem Shvach. Is to have a thought of gratitude, of thankfulness to Hashem. Dainu, kashu margish es tanuga achila. That when the person feels the pleasure of eating the tanug achila, ben es hatam, whether it's the pleasure that he's feeling from the taste of the food, ben es achias v'hasoiva v'harivaya shemagish, or the pleasure that he has by satisfying his hunger, the chias that he feels by eating, or by drinking, that his thirst is quenched. Yachshav miyad machshavas hadoy l'Hashem Shbach. The person should immediately have a thought, a machshav of hadoy, of appreciation to Hashem. A thought of machshav of hadoy l'Hashem Shbach. This is true of all pleasures that a person has in life. Even the Chazam Lublin said that even in our times, that even when it comes to the inyan of the intimacy of a husband and wife, that with the Sram talk about it there too, it's an opportunity for tremendous kedusha, or chalila the opposite. Could be a time of tremendous yichud and kedusha. It could be a time of terrible tumah. That inyan of a husband and wife. The Chazam Lublin said also this machshava, not talking about all kinds of kavanis that are found in the in the Svarim regarding that inyan. But in our times, even a split second of a thought of Hadoil Hashem Isbarach, of gratitude to Hashem, for this oinig, for this pleasure that comes from Hashem. That's all. That's already a tremendous, tremendous thing. V'yachshoiv toid locha Hashem Isbarach shenesat li tanu kezeh. And to have this thought, thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for this tanuk, toid locha Hashem Isbarach shenesat li tanu kezeh, for giving me this pleasure. Kama toiv ato elai. How good you are to me. How good you are to me. Of course, this is harder for us because we take eating for granted. And we, at times, people that didn't have much to eat, it was very difficult for them to be able to afford anything to eat or to get anything to eat. It's easier to feel that appreciation, but that's always the nisayon of our lives. But to be able to stop and to have this machshava of hodoy l'Hashem, ukechol shemargish yoseh tanug, and the greater the pleasure that a person feels, bad bebad yargish hodoy yoseh gedola. One should feel greater gratitude and thanks. Where does this come from? Ki yesh lo tanug yoseh gedola b'zeh ha'achila mekasheres osa b'keshu ahavim Hashem Yisbarach. And when a person has this machshava of gratitude to Hashem, when he has this thought of hodaya, then the eating is something which brings him closer to Hashem. It doesn't mean that you feel necessarily closer to Hashem, although one does over time feel closer to Hashem. But the metzius is that the person is makasha himself to Hashem Isbar, and that the act of eating is like bringing a carbon on the mizbeach mamish. Mekadesh is also, and it sanctifies, it's Mekadesh, the person. Ba'if and shlo yushuar, in ways that we can't even understand, because the eating is the biggest inyan in our lives, in our physical lives, is eating. It's so important, it's so chashiv, that that's why there's such a yetzara that a person can't even have this second of mindfulness. Mamsh, a second of mindfulness to have. But you see how important it is, because when the food comes, you just lose yourself in the We could all try this. Tonight is going to be Mitzvah Shem. All of us are going to have a delicious Shabbos meal. To have some Shabbos, to talk to our wives and our children about such a thing. It's not something that's beyond us. It's Kikar Ve'lach Adavam Ma'od. And it's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. Beis gam evsha lizkos lagia b'shas achila letshuka atzum l'Hashem Isbarach. And beyond that, umocha esa kedvar hamelach, to make the meal into something which is mamish kedvar hamelach, where Haman isn't even invited at all. Where Haman doesn't come to the mishteh at all. It's just the king that shows up. And even if it's a little bit of Yetzirah, it's not Haman. A person can reach tshuka atzum l'Hashem Isbarach. Can actually, through eating, a person can reach a tshuka, a great longing for Hashem. Ki yizboinen b'achiloso. This is already more advanced. The person meditates for a second. This really takes some more concentration. Shimnitzo yitz'echad. But here's the formula. It's a very simple formula, but it takes more concentration. He is born in Bachilasa. This is the machshava that one can have. Shemnitzayitz echad. It's sof kol sof. That this taste that I'm enjoying, this chiyus that I'm feeling by eating, by drinking, this is happening because because in this machal, in this food, in this drink, there's a nitzayitz, there's that spark, there's that chelik elokus. There's that chelik elokus in this food of godliness, in the food and the drink. Shurak or dak v'kot, that Hashem has covered very, very much ketchup and hot dogs and hamburgers and chicken and salad, and Hashem has covered all kinds of things. Hashem has covered up that point of His presence in this time, in this taste, in this chias of the food that we're eating. And yesh bo kezet tanug. And I'm enjoying it so much. Just a tiny little dakistik, a little elokus that's so concealed and so hidden. And even that is so gishmak. It's delicious. Imkein bevadai hu she'or ha'yedidus eloki atzmo, then it must be that to actually have a relationship with Hashem, to actually connect Hashem himself, this is just a tiny taste of Hashem. This is just a tamu uki toiv Hashem. In this food that I'm enjoying, I'm just tasting a little bit of elokus, and I'm thankful for that little bit. I'm thankful. But in that little bit of elokus, there's such a tam. Al chaskama v'kama, infinitely more so, that if I would actually experience Hashem himself. Because whatever tanug I'm having from this food, it's only because of the elokus. That's the chiyus of the food. That's what gives the food its taste. Not the spices, not the sugar, not this, that. It's the elokus that's in the food. So then al chaskama v'kama. That to have a connection to Hashem himself, without the dressing, without the ketchup and the mustard, but the yedidus haluki atzmo, but dveikus b'Hashem isboch, dveikus to Hashem. Who orev ha'mosak yosim mekol atanuv shavaylo, is sweeter, is more delicious than all the pleasures of the world. Ubaynimsa atanu gamiti ha'otzum. And in that relationship with Hashem, is atanug ha'amiti ha'otzum, is the true and greatest pleasure of all. Vazai mitorech ha'goshes atanug ha'gashmi. And in such a way, again, this is more advanced, but in such a way, with such a machshava, with such a thought, even if it's not, again, you're not kidding yourself. It's not that your feelings, but with the eating, there's a little bit of a tefillah, like a davening. Mm-hmm. Hashem, help. I'm enjoying this food, and I know that enjoyment is because of your presence in the food. So help me to enjoy you, our friendship. Help me to enjoy our connection. I don't feel that pleasure. I don't feel that enjoyment. I enjoy the steak more than I enjoy my davening. Help me to enjoy the davening. It's a tefillah that a person can have when eating. There's so many people that I'm talking to that still aren't able to taste the food that they're eating. Shredi, there was a bacher that I was talking to that he had corona at the very beginning, after Purim, and he still is not able to taste it. He said sometimes if it's a certain very spicy thing, he could epis mashuhu, something, but otherwise he's not tasting the food. Can you imagine this is something that is the most basic pleasure of life that every one of us has taken for granted since we're in the world? To be able to taste what we're eating, it's such a simple and basic pleasure of life. And if I'm meeting people and they're telling this to me, it must be that there must be millions of people like that in the world, and they don't know when it's going to change. It shouldn't chas v'sholom how long it's going to go on, but there are people that are going like that they can't taste the food. I mean, it could be that somebody here, I don't know. And then you realize this is something that it's a big part of one's life, that tonic, that pleasure. And then if a person stops and thinks, you know, when was the last time that I tasted Hashem? The tamu rikitai of Hashem. When did I lose my taste for Hashem as well? When did that taste become very, very dim or faint? Akidekach, that it's only when it's something very, very sharp that I can taste Hashem. By a family simcha, or chas v'sholom, when something happens in Meron, that's something sharp that I could taste this. That is something that this has to do with God. This great simcha in my life, or this great chalila, this great tragedy in my life, because there's a very, very sharp taste, and so then you could taste Hashem. But on a regular day, just things are going, panosa, and the kids, and life, and so on. You don't taste. Ein lezeh shum tam. Davening, shkan tam. Learning, it's much easier to have a tam because you're an intelligent person, so you have a geshmak to learn something. It's interesting, so it's nice to... Learning is the easiest thing to feel, a tam. because the mind is very, very much excited by a geshmak, a gemara, by something good in learning, or by a beautiful Torah. It's very easy to feel that pleasure. To feel that pleasure. But when it comes to davening, if it would be so delicious, we wouldn't swallow it so quickly. When you enjoy what you're eating, you eat it slowly, no? I've been davening all week, Lo'aleinu, at Shiva by Yechiel, and there's a yid, I don't know him, but I'm telling you, by the time I take 3 steps, I just went down, Baruch HaTah Hashem, to say Shemoneh Esrei, he's already taking 3 steps the other way. And I don't know better than him, it's just that I drag it out longer. So, but if we would really be davening, the tzaddikim have a hard time parting with the words. They have a hard time parting with the words. There was an old friend of mine. He was single very, very long. So he used to come every Shabbos to us the first years that we were married. And Baruch Hashem, now he's married for many years. He's a very funny guy. He's a good guy. And he would eat in such a way. He was into organic stuff. My wife had to make him special things and salads and things. And he was into all this stuff. I'm talking about 40 years ago he was into this stuff. So by the time we were ready finishing the Shabbos meal and we were ready to bench, he was like on his third bite, of the food. He was eating everything in such a way, with such deliberation. And he was always telling us, giving us these drushes about how you have to eat that way, health and different things. And it was, if you really, really enjoy the food that you're eating, so you would eat it slowly. You would eat slowly. A person goes to a fancy restaurant, he's paying $100, I don't know, $200 people pay for a piece of flesh. So then, you don't eat it so quickly. You know, every bite is another $10 or something. So you eat it carefully, you eat it slowly. I never knew this, but we were taken out to eat by somebody years ago, and it said on the menu that Your steak was aged. You know what I'm talking about? Something like that. It was aged. I always thought, my mother told me it's good to have a new one, not an old one. But it said it was aged in something.
Aged.
What do they do? They put
it's
it into
aged.
Some
it's
sauce or something?
There, that it gives a taste.
They put it into a sauce and they leave it in? They leave
not
it?
Not necessarily the sauce. The way it's aged in a special room.
So it's not fresh meat?
No, it actually sits out in the open.
I thought that's a chesar, not a maila. I didn't know that. But I remember seeing it. It says aged, and I said to my wife, "Why is it an old piece of meat? What on that piece of meat?" But they do that. They age it. I know what the wine, that how they make wine. I understand that's a chachma. The Gemara talks about that also.
Instead of grinding it up and making it into chopped meat, which they have to get rid of.
Yeah.
They make a new category, and they say now that it's aged meat.
And then they charge you, and they charge you for the aged meat, and it's a mile, and all the shaitim are sitting there paying a fortune of money to eat an old piece of
it shrinks the meat. So
it shrinks it, so it gives it the meat of the meat. Those the molecules come closer together.
There's more taste.
That's amazing. Wow. Okay, I didn't know that that's how it works. So that if something is old, then the molecules get closer. Say that. Okay, I have to think about that.
Nobody wanted. When my father was a butcher, nobody wanted old meat.
That's what I'm saying. You go to the bush, you would say, is this fresh? That was the first question, is this fresh? And it looked like, you saw it over there, it looks like it was a fresh piece of meat. No.
People get older also, they shrink.
Yeah. The molecules, that's what I'm thinking about. The molecules get closer together. Yeah. When you're old friends, you get closer together. It's good. I never heard that word. I didn't know that. That's why they do it. That it gets closer. So it becomes more fleshy. Wow. Yeah. So a person can have such a machshava. Rabbi Shalom, help me to have more of a taste for you. It says in Pasuk, Tamru ki toiv Hashem, the tzaddikim have such a geshmak from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have when they're davening. Every word is so good in their mouths that they don't want to part from, the diburim. When you're learning Torah, it's a machshava a person can have. Help me that when I learn Vahar Hashem Lokenu, help me that the words of Torah should be so sweet to me. This food is very delicious to me. Rabbi Shalom, help me that when I learn the words, I say the brach every morning. We just said it. V'harav na Hashem Elokein. V'harav na Hashem Elokein. Divrei Torah asur b'fi. Hashem, help that the words of Torah should be sweet in my mouth. Should be delicious to me. That these words of Torah should be delicious in my mouth. And that I should appreciate every word of Torah that I learn. Every word of tefillah that you give me the opportunity to speak before you in these few years that I'm on earth, that I'm able to talk to you, that every word should have such a ta'am. I should feel the ta'am of my Yiddishkeit. Then when I'm doing a mitzvah, when I'm shuckling a lulav, right? I'm sitting in a sukkah, I'm making a kiddush, that every single second, every single word, every single movement should be with, I should feel that ta'am of Elokus. I should feel that pleasure of Yidid Nefesh Avrahman. These are machshavas that they're not hard. And even though we might feel that they're insincere, but to daven for something is not. I've told you many times over the years there was a maizeh from the Hilika Kabrina, Schusa Yelena, that he had his room where his little place where he davened right next to the Beis HaMedrash, connected to the Beis HaMedrash. And he had a little window. That's how a lot of the tzaddikim, they would daven, you know, in such a way that Tzibur would daven in the room and the Tzaddik was davening in his little room. And davening when he finished. And there was the last chassid that was in the Beis HaMedrash. And he didn't see this chassid, was by himself, so he was saying the animamins at the end. You know, in the siddur it's printed. So he was saying the animamins. And he was crying with big hysteroxes. So the Kabrina, Marshal Kabrina, stood up and he went into the window and he told him to come inside. And the guy was very flustered. He forgot that the Rebbe was there. He got very scared and he came into the Rebbe. And the Rebbe asked him, whatever his name is, Yankel, what's the matter? Is something wrong? I heard you're crying by the animamins. What's wrong? So he said, Rebbe, I'm crying because I had this thought. I'm saying these are the 13 animamins, the 13 basic principles of being a Jew. And I was saying them, and then I started to have this thought that I don't know, maybe I don't believe in all of this. I don't know. I don't know if I believe in everything that I'm saying. I'm not so sure. That's what he said, this chassid. So Marshal Gabrini said to him, everybody has these thoughts. And I want to tell you how I say the Ani Mamans. And Marshal Gabrini said, Ay, Heilige Beshef, Holy Creator of the world, help me. It's so hard for me. Ani Mama b'Mushlema. It's so hard for me. Help me to believe with full faith. And it was a tefillah. It wasn't. He said, it's true that it's written, Ke'ilu is just a statement of fact. But the Kabrina says, but you could say it as a tefillah. You could daven b'Mushlema. Shalom. Help me to feel this. It's hard for me. It's hard for me. There are many chevra that are going through this now. I'm having a lot of conversations because of the maisa that took place last Thursday night, that help me to believe this, help me to feel this. It's hard. It's zest upon him. And to feel a taste of that taste of Elokus when everything is so sour in one's mouth, that how could it be such a thing by the Simcha of Rabbi Shimon, such a thing? And it's a nisayin, an emunah. It's a big nisayin and emunah, and a person has to daven. Saying, yeah, but it's hard for me to daven. You daven, you should be able to daven this. So that's how a Jew lives. We daven that our emunah should be strong, to be mechazek ourselves in our emunah. That's a big avoda to daven. And people are thinking about these things now. And it's okay to have machshavas. It's okay to have machshavas, but they should be together with tefillah. That's the ikkar, to go together with tefillah. Even those dark thoughts that a person has of how could this be, and how could Hashem really be so kind and loving if this could happen, v'chule, v'chule. So those machshavas, though, they should never be left by themselves to cook chas v'chalila. That's not how a Jew lives. A person stops and says, "Ay, this hurts. Rebbe Shalom, it hurts." There's a way for a Jew to be in pain. And the modern Jew has lost a lot of that natural sense that our parents and grandparents had of feeling pain in a Jewish way. There's a way for a Jew to feel pain. There's a way for a Jew to be brokenhearted. It's not the way that a Goy is brokenhearted. When a Goy is brokenhearted, he says blank, blank. He curses his God. It's a fascinating thing. He's a makalom. He's a makalom, mamish. He curses his God. When he has a moment of disappointment or pain, or his guy struck out of the plate or something, he curses. He
kicks the sukkah on the way in.
Yeah, right. He kicks the sukkah and he curses. When a yid is hurting, I'm not talking about physical pain. That's when a yid is hurting because of he feels that he's disappointed in what happened, and he has these thoughts about Hashem. So you make that into a tefillah. You make that into a tefillah. You daven. Hashem, help me. Help bring back to me that feeling. Help me to know that this is only coming from your love. It doesn't look like that. It hurts a lot. I don't understand how such a thing could have happened. But help me to feel that taste of your love. Help me to feel that taste of your truth, even though I don't understand it. But it must be there was gvaldige tikkunim that were taking place. And I don't need to have any gematrias or a mazim. Right away they sent out something from the Zohar Kodesh. You saw, I don't know if you got this. Mm-hmm. Oh God, 20 people sent me from the Zohar Kodesh such an unbelievable misquotation. I don't know how the person who does these things, I'm sure they mean well, but it's just like, I can't stand that kind of stuff. You know, totally miss. Because the assumption is that no one's going to sit down and, you know, like, no person that learns the Zohar Kodesh really gets, you know, is on his phone looking at this stuff. And that's like, why would he be doing that if he's learning the Zohar Kodesh all the time? And then the ones who are getting it are simple Amaratzim. And because they're simple Amaratzim, so this will make him happy. It says about 45 people, and he brings down there right away. This is going to bring back your emuna because of some remez that's in the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh was talking about 45 goyim that died. It has nothing to do with what they were making it look like. The whole Maisa, the Rebbe Amnon Saba, it's a whole different thing. Whatever. It wasn't what they were making it to appear. And then they'll make on the computer like an underline of the number 45, red or something. And now everybody's supposed to say, oh, you know what happened in Meiron? It's really, really, it's okay because it was predicted. So since it was predicted, it means that, well, it was predicted. I guess that God does exist after all. How would Rabbi Shimon have known such a thing? So these things are done for the weak, feeble-minded people who are scrounging around looking for some magic to bring them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring them back to faith. There's some sort of a remez that's not even a remez, or some sort of a far-fetched remez. Go and do that too. It's not a Yiddish thing. It doesn't mean you can't have remezim. It doesn't mean a person can't enjoy a remez. But that's not the faith. That's not the emunah of a Jew. Hatu mischazik. Emunah. It's for tefillah, for davening, not remezim. The remezim become like a whole thing, and people are looking for these kind of things. I got some calls from this newspaper and a magazine. I don't want to write about these things. And there's certain things that a Jew has to learn how within himself to reach within himself to be mechazik himself in amuna and tefillah and avoda to be a yid. That even when you're feeling that so let down and so hurt and so disappointed, when you have a dear friend, a close friend, you don't run away from that friend. If you're married for 20, 30, 40 years and you love your wife, and there's something that happens that's disappointing, you don't run away. Just the opposite. It's a time to talk about the relationship and to deepen the relationship, not to run away. There's a way that a person feels in a friendship that when you feel hurt or let down, the yedidus is an emistiki yedidus. Imagine if your best friend did something terrible to you, and your mom just can't talk to him, and he sends you a remez that your two last names have the same gematria. Don't worry about it. Goldstein and Weinberg or whatever, we have the same, our names have the same gematria. Shkaya. So he asks him, like, he said back a question mark, like, was that? So then he sends you back. That means we were meant to be friends. You see, because we have the same gematria. We have the same gematria. I'm not against acute remazim, but I don't like when a person's life depends on them. You understand? The remazim are only meant to be a parperos, like a little bit of a spice. Not that your Yiddishkeit depends on the remez. Your Yiddishkeit depends on tefillah, and avodah, and hard work, not on using a calculator or going onto some gematria, Google gematria or something. Tefillah. Yeah, it hurts. It's disappointed. It means I went yesterday to visit that family in New Jersey. My beloved and I went to visit the Morris Mishpach. Moedic people. Bale Avaida. Emuna is something you have to work hard. It's not something that's a remez, a gematria, a fancy Torah. It comes with davening. A person feels that he's lost his taste a little bit. And doesn't have, his Yiddishkeit doesn't have the same tam. So you daven to get the tam back. You daven to have that taste again, to be able to taste it. And these are a person, machshavas that we can have. Machshavas that a person can have with everything in life. To lead to davening, and that it should be, that a person should feel, or hamasikas mekolat tanugas shabodim, because from that yedidus, that friendship that I have with you, is more important to me and is the biggest tanug. I don't feel that, so help me to feel it. That I should be able to taste a shemen esrei the way that I taste the piece of food, the way that I enjoy a piece of kugel, a piece of challah.
Maybe isn't it because we see, isn't that what we see with Rabbi Akiva? That he saw things in a positive way. He said that, you know, that when they saw the fox, all the different things.
Yeah, he always was. Yeah.
So that's he saw the same Muslim. He saw the same things, and he took something positive out of it. So
that's the avod, of course. Right. So we have to daven. Of course, you have two people see the same thing. This one is terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. Another person sees something that's good in it. So there are two things. One is that it has to do with the teva of a person. There are people that are naturally dark and bleak, and they have a certain dark way of looking at everything, you know. They'll still be wearing the masks 2 years from now, you understand? So a certain dark and bleak and sad way of looking at everything in the world. And there are others that have a teva. They have an upbeat and optimistic, not reckless, but an optimistic and positive way of looking at things. Again, not reckless, but optimistic and positive and besimcha and so on. And the tev is to look at things in the Rebbe Kibbutzik Mahal, or the Rebbe Kibbutzik Mahal. There are people that have that teva, but even if a person has the teva that he doesn't have such an ayin tov on the world, and that's why I can't hear all these things with it. It's been such a difficult time because not just because of the terrible tragedy that happened, but because of the way people are. There are people that talk in such negative ways about about emuna, about Hashem. It's like, you know, you feel like your friend is being insulted and being maligned and mistreated. That's what I feel when people talk this way. It hurts me. I understand that I have no kindness, but it hurts to hear things. People are saying lashon hara about a kadosh baruch hu. It's not a good feeling to hear lashon hara about a kadosh baruch hu. Especially since if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would for 1 second take away himself from you, you would drop dead. You wouldn't have forget about being crushed by other people. You wouldn't exist. And what do we know? We know nothing at all. We're a bunch of nobodies that know nothing. And people making such grand statements about that. Hashem is Baruch. It's terrible, terrible tragedy. 45 Jews were crushed. Some of us remember hearing from family members about how it wasn't 45 people who were crushed. There were 6 million people who were crushed. And they were made into ashes. And to keep things in perspective, and to not say Lashon Hara about the Bor Yoylam, not to say bad things about Hashem is Baruch. Of course, a person's hurt, the person's angry. So Hashem forgives for everything. But a yid has to, even when a person is in pain, a yid has to have your shemaim. Even if you're going through a little apikarsis shemom, but you have to have your shemaim, you know. It has to be with your shemaim. You can't let go of who you are, to forget who you are. People are saying, people say things. How could such a thing happen? So here, a person through the physical act of eating and through the pleasure that he has by eating, he's able to open within his heart machshavas v'hagoshes, thoughts and feelings of kedusha. He could use it as a stepping stone, as a way to come to machshavas of kedusha. Shel kisufim v'shtoikikus, of longing. To be zoichel is anigel Hashemesbach. To have a pleasure in that connection to Hashem. And to have a feeling of dveikus b'Hashem through this simple act of eating. Kimitoicha achila ha'odamargi shomeven. Because through this act of eating, a person is able to feel, he's able to understand. If this is the pleasure that I have from a little piece of Hashem, and I could only imagine, and I could only daven that I should be able to have the tanduk of oz tis'anigel Hashem, of oz tis'anigel Hashem, to feel a pleasure in my relationship with Hashem. To daven, to be able to feel that longing for Elokus. Again, it's not that necessarily that one feels it now, but to at least to daven, one should be able to feel it. Good footnote, Mem Vav. Lefamim yichalim liskos the madrega nikris ha'oris ha'rotzen. Sometimes a person is able to be zeicher for a madrega that's called the illumination of will and desire. Ha'oris ha'rotzen, ha'oris, an or of rotzen. Ki im ha'odam nidbak b'Hashem isbach b'shas achila. Because if a person is able to put into practice some of this that we're learning, and to experience dveikus b'Hashem b'shas achila when eating. And he is mizbainin, he contemplates this, he thinks about this. Ahavas Hashem. Shesholach lo satanug hazeh, the great gratitude and love that he has for Hashem, for sending him this pleasure, for allowing me to have this pleasure, for enjoying this food that I'm eating. As a yochel liskos, then the person through that could be zeiche. Shekol kach toyer lo metzius Hashem isbarach, that or of Hashem Yisbarach's presence should be so strong. If a person tries to do what we're learning, then he could be zeicher for ha'oris ha'ratzon, that he feels such a powerful, sudden radiance of that light of Hashem. Ad sheyagish shenafsha kimat yotzeis. We're not able to hear this, but that a person feels that there's such a for a moment, there's such a clarity, such a feeling, a strong feeling, that ki'ilu, the nefesh is about to leave the person, almost to leave the person. Merov rotzen v'kisufim l'or ha'loki. Because of this tremendous, tremendous, great longing, this rotzen, this kisufim felokos. Gimel. Om the makavana yikaris. The main kavana is shebizman she'adam nenem he'orechel. That the most basic kavana is that when you're eating, you're enjoying the food. Yagish ech she'atanuk shu'umargish hu be'etzem tanuk me'or eloki. That's Aleph 001. That this tanuk is a tanuk eloki. It's not because my wife is the best cook in the world. It's very nice. You should compliment her. It's not because because this steak is since the time of Avraham Avinu, whatever. it's that the Baruch Shalom is tanug shu margish shu be'etzem tanug meha or heloki. It's a tanug meha or heloki. V'hainu, shetzarach letargim b'machshavta. So that is the thought of translating, of interpreting. In one's mind, to interpret, to translate. It's a tanug agashmi, this physical pleasure, and to translate it, to interpret it into what it really is. This pleasure that I'm feeling from the taste of the food, translate that, lo'or eloki, into the language of Elokus. Lo'or eloki, it's the light of Elokus. Ula hargish eich ha-tanug ha-gashmi, and to feel how this tanug ha-gashmi, this physical pleasure, hu-hu ha-or eloki. That is the presence of Elokus. In that taste, Hashem gave us that hint of his presence. Hu hu ha erloki. Eshel mulubash batam gashmi. Now obviously in a cup of water it's more mulubash. Because it's something that doesn't seem to have a taste, one has to work harder. The same way that when something in life that you're going through that doesn't have a taste, or what if it has a bad taste, it's even harder. It's even harder. Yesterday I was zeichet for the first time in a year and 3 months to sit next to my mother. Mm. For the first time, because I wasn't allowed to do that, because my mother had her second vaccination a few weeks ago. She doesn't know. She thought it was just a shot for the flu. But I was allowed back in, Baruch Hashem. That something that you take for granted your whole life, that time. But what was the first thing, my mother? So I came in, I kissed, and I was holding my mother's hand. And she said to me, she had a banana on the table, and she pushed it, and she said, I said, Ma, you know, I always found that so annoying, but I have to tell you, I'm enjoying it now. My mother, she said, the first thing, like, not like some, like, isn't this wonderful that we're able to do this? My mother just, Eat. Did you have breakfast? Eat. A Gewaldige thing. That the things that we take for granted, the things that in life that don't have necessarily a taste at all, sometimes even that don't have a good taste. My mother used to always make me drink tea. I hate tea. She had this inyan that tea is like the cure or the preventative thing for all machlis in the world is to have tea. And I would always drink it because I didn't want her to be disappointed. And if my father was there, he would give me a look to have. And it wasn't enough to have a little bit. I used to have to drink the whole thing. And there were no flavored teas at all. You know, it was just regular tea, aged probably, with all the molecules together. And my mother would sit there and she would sit like this to watch me. They'd drink the whole thing. I was thinking about this yesterday, that how I missed that, you know, things that you take for granted. That one time in your life have a bad time, it doesn't taste so bad if you think about the person who's giving it to you, you know what I mean? There are many things like that in life. That if you think deeply about the Baruch Shalom, the one who's giving it to you, then the time is a better time. And that's what people have to think about now, to try to concentrate on that. That everything should have the right taste, should have a good taste. And we shouldn't, Chalila, forget who's the one that's giving us everything. Some things taste just openly great, they're gewaldig, and there are other things that are good for us even though they don't taste good. There are things that are good for us even though they don't taste good. Because probably my mother's right, probably tea is good for you. I never made a study of it. Probably it is good for you. Not everything that's good for us tastes good. There's such a thing in the world, not everything. But if you remember the one who's giving it to you, and you remember the one who loves you, and it comes from love, even though it doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. So even for that, you could say, Hod l'Hashem ki tov l'olam chas. Hod l'Hashem ki tov. Baruch dayan hamas. Baruch dayan hamas. We should be zeichet to taste only the good tastes. Every taste should be good, and we should be zeichet to taste.